Is Satoshi Nakamoto the CIA or the NSA? Well, in a documentary that was released yesterday, which has been seen by millions of people, HBO is making some pretty outrageous claims about who the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto, the anonymous founder of Bitcoin, really is. Today, we're going to be diving into whether you should be scared or you should be worried about Satoshi Nakamoto's, you know, pseudonym or identity being revealed. Some people might be concerned because the price of Bitcoin coincidentally has been on a little bit of a tumble since that documentary was released. But before we get ahead of ourselves, what was the documentary? I'm going to play you guys the trailer for anyone who missed it.
Satoshi Nakamoto, the inventor of Bitcoin, could be one of the richest people on Earth. But many years ago, Satoshi had disappeared, and with Bitcoin being woven into the fabric of the financial system, solidifying its role as digital gold, perhaps the question of Satoshi's identity was more pressing than ever.
We should start with just an interview with you in Malta, if that sounds good to you.
Okay.
Who would have been working around the clock to introduce something like Bitcoin?
A lot of technical people will say, I could have done that. It's actually much harder than it looks.
Anyone competent enough to go do Bitcoin probably would competent enough to not leave any traces.
Satoshi's got nothing to pick up by his stash.
Yeah, just a million Bitcoin.
The currency derived from electricity might pose a real threat to the dollar.
3, 2, 1.
If it gained in popularity.
And the crazy prince that is talking about Bitcoin.
What we're trying to do is get parallel systems in place. Dollars, Bitcoin, pesos, Bitcoin, yen, Bitcoin.
If it looks like something could replace the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, three-letter agencies will do whatever they can to disrupt projects like Bitcoin.
I would rather buy shit that's worth something than buying crypto.
Bitcoin is about undermining the Federal Reserve, disintermediating the nation state.
It's not like Satoshi had some master plan.
Yeah, it's like you're in some sort of cult.
You guys are having fun now.
Right?
Satoshi left a lot of digital history.
When he left, he distributed control amongst different people in the community.
Were you the first person that Satoshi reached out to?
I believe so, yeah.
Best evidence of him being Satoshi.
Of not being Satoshi.
Being Satoshi. What indication did you have that he was collaborating with the government?
If you dig deep enough, the inconsistencies will emerge.
He's responding.
I've been told Satoshi was a group of people.
I have to be careful of talking about that topic.
He checks a lot of boxes.
I will admit, you're pretty creative. You come up with some crazy theories.
Here's what I think happened.
It's Bitcoin. Don't trust, verify.
Okay, so that is the trailer that a lot of people saw. I'm not sure how many people watched the documentary, but if I'm going to summarize this for you guys in under 10 minutes, there, let's say, big reveal in the documentary all came down to these comments here. Now, the people of the documentary are actually accusing a man by the name of Peter Todd. Okay, so he is, of course, this gentleman who continues to appear throughout the documentary. They interviewed, this is Peter, by the way, for those who don't know him. They accused Peter of being Satoshi Nakamoto, and the majority of their case rested upon this interaction here with Satoshi Nakamoto. I'm going to really try my best to zoom this thing up so everybody can see it nice and clearly, but as you can see, I'm having a little bit of issues with that. But what happened was way back in 2010, on December 10th, 2010, Peter Todd, he looked to have finished Satoshi's sentence on a message board. He kind of corrected Satoshi. Now, the authors of the documentary, the creators of the documentary, said that Satoshi Nakamoto made a mistake. He was supposed to finish off his first message on his personal account, but he accidentally did it on the account of Peter Todd on the Bitcoin Talk forum. So this was one of their like big reveals or really big takeaways from the documentary. They said, look at this. Satoshi made a mistake. We've caught him. But I'm not sure if this is, you know, a good accusation, because Peter Todd had multiple interactions with Satoshi on the Bitcoin Talk forum, and he did routinely correct or, you know, just clarify things with Satoshi. So again, I really do think that this documentary, it was spreading a little bit of FUD. Okay, I've watched it. I don't think it's worth watching, to be entirely honest with you guys. I think it spreads a lot of just false information. There's a little bit of a cringeworthy interview. I'm not going to play it for you guys, but I'm sure you saw it circulating all over Twitter today. This is the cringeworthy video. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's like a 90-second interaction with Peter Todd and Adam Back. And honestly, Peter Todd's just laughing. But I mean, I really just, I'm not buying the takeaway from this documentary. But there's some interesting questions we have to ask ourselves regarding this documentary. Okay. Why is the price of Bitcoin crashing? I want to answer that question in a moment. And what would hypothetically happen to Bitcoin if Satoshi's identity were to be revealed? Would he be attacked? Would Satoshi dump his 1 million Bitcoin? These are all questions I just want you guys to think about. But I saw this really cool tweet thread that kind of talked about the documentary. Okay, so who else appeared in this documentary? Okay, multiple times. Just in that trailer alone, you would have saw a really famous, let's call them former Bitcoiner, in the documentary. Of course, we're talking about none other than Mr. Bcash himself. Mr. Bcash being Roger Ver. Okay. Now, I think it is, here he is. For those who don't know who Roger Ver is, this is Mr. Roger Ver. This gentleman right here. That's Roger Ver. Okay. He's a big blocker. Okay. Now, I think this little breakdown that I did see on Twitter was worth talking about. So we see BitMEX Research put out this tweet thread of them watching live on the documentary on HBO. And I found it interesting, a few of the nuggets they pulled out of it. So they said at 52 minutes into the documentary, again, I'm trying to condense this documentary down for you guys so you don't have to watch it. But at 52 minutes in, Roger Ver claimed that Peter Todd is working with the government because Peter was working against Bitcoin with his small blocker stance. It's interesting. So again, this is a narrative that's pretty big in, you know, the big blockers. We'll call them the big block circles. They say, oh, but these small blockers are all compliant government cucks. That's what they say us. That's what they talk about us. You know, that they come up with some pretty interesting theories. Let's just say that. Okay, but we can also see Roger Ver also accused Peter Todd of working with the government because of him wanting to implement replace by fee. It's a Bitcoin feature that, of course, improves Bitcoin. Of course, a big blocker doesn't want that. A big blocker doesn't want improvements made to small block real Bitcoin. So I think this is a pretty good summary tweet. I'm not going to read the whole thread. Our view is that this is a large blocker conspiracy nonsense. The claims in the leaked email was not about John Dillon, was talking to Peter. And again, I just think a lot of this was just purely, you know, big blocker FUD, an attack on Bitcoin. That's what I think. Okay. Now, a lot of people are kind of talking about this possibility. What happens if Satoshi sells his Bitcoin? He's squatting on 1 million coins. You know, he's, depending upon when you measure it, he's in the top 20 richest people around the world. He's not right now, but he was in 2021. He's pretty close to there now. We can see it's pretty interesting. An anonymous person is squatting on $59 billion of wealth. Satoshi Nakamoto, which is pretty wild to think about. Which is a ton of wealth, okay? And think about the wallet that Bitcoin is stored on. It's probably a paper wallet, okay? The bad thing about being so early in Bitcoin is, like a lot of people have just simply lost Bitcoin on, you know, hard drives, old hard drives that that they had their Bitcoin on. And, you know, back in the day, there were no solutions for you to actually back up your Bitcoin correctly, let alone no hardware wallets. There were absolutely no hardware wallets back in the day when, you know, I mean, Satoshi Nakamoto was squatting on those 1 million coins, okay? So obviously, we've come a long way in regards to the technology with Bitcoin over the past, you know, 15 years, which is pretty cool. Right now, you can actually back up your Bitcoin in a way more safe way than Satoshi Nakamoto could ever dreamed of, okay? You can buy a hardware wallet today and you can even put your Bitcoin back upwards on some titanium like this from Stampseed. As you can see, you got 12 spaces, you got 24 spaces to back up your Bitcoin on. I always encourage you guys to check out what Stampseed is making because so many people are making a really crucial mistake of putting their Bitcoin back upwards on paper. I tell you guys all the time, paper is not going to survive a house fire, a flood. It's certainly not going to survive the two hurricanes that have hit America in the past month. Think about that for a moment. I was watching an interview earlier over on TFTC, another great Bitcoin-only creator on YouTube you guys should check out. And they had an interview. Marty had an interview of a guest who said the probability of a Category 5 hurricane hit in America per year is 1 in 1,000. Now, what is the probability that you get two of those Category 5 hurricanes within 30 days of an election? Let me tell you, when you run the numbers, you come to some pretty wonky probabilities. Okay, so again, I'm going to be really careful with what I say here, but I don't believe in coincidences, guys. I think America is under attack. Again, all of this is a function of America's unsustainable debt problem. You're going to continue to see, let's just say, weather events. You're going to continue to see weather events. Or let's just say opportunistic events happen that allow our governments to print money and oppress us. I'm not even going to begin talking about 2020. I don't need to. I'm sure you guys get what I'm talking about. But everything you see, I think you're going to see increasing volatility. Like immigration, for example. People are stunned. Why are the American borders left wide open? Why are 10,000 people crossing the border every day? A lot of people never really connect the dot and say, hang on a minute, increased people in America helps the debt problem, helps juice the economic numbers, helps, you know, make the economy look, make it better than it was. Okay. Again, I'm not going to go down rabbit holes. All I'm going to say is go long volatility. If you're in America in particular, I don't want to jinx you guys, but, you know, again, you've seen two Category 5 hurricanes hit you recently, okay? There's supposed to be a 1 in 1,000 event. 0.1% probability per year. You've seen two. Seriously, don't take risks. If you're a conspiracy theorist like me, or simply someone who wants to back up their Bitcoin in a more safe fashion, check out what Stampseed is making. Again, you guys can actually get 15% off anything you want to buy from Stampseed. You can buy a plate. You can buy 100 of them. You're still going to get that 15% discount if you use a promo code Luke15. Okay? So again, check out your generational wealth. You do not want to be like Satoshi, squatting on $60 billion worth of Bitcoin in a paper wallet. Okay? Now, let's talk a little bit more about what would happen if Satoshi Nakamoto were to be revealed. I found this really cool video that Swan Bitcoin put out today, and it has this little interview here from Eric Kaysen that I want to play from you guys talking about this possibility.
Even if Satoshi Nakamoto was the most evil or the most good person who ever existed, that doesn't fundamentally change anything about Bitcoin in any meaningful way, because nuclear fission was invented by a Nazi German scientist. Like, should we not deal with that? Because he clearly has values and ideals that maybe don't align with it. But like, that has nothing to do with it. Like, this is just a technique that's reserved in nature for us to actually make fission. And the same thing with Satoshi Nakamoto's. He just brought all of these pieces together in such a way that he was able to present an actual decentralized, robust new model to have a monetary system that has absolutely nothing to do with him. That's the real beauty of it.
Satoshi's identity.
Okay. It's a great little clip from Swan Bitcoin that I saw today. I thought it was worth playing. Okay. I really don't think it matters who Satoshi Nakamoto is. Even if he sells his million Bitcoin, we've run the numbers before here on the channel and we've showed you guys Bitcoin's price wouldn't be depressed for a whole lot of time. Okay. All Night Hider says he's ready for the buying opportunity. Speaking about opportunities, I hope we have a massage. Producer Pam and I have a massage in 9 minutes. I was supposed to say, I hope we have an Uber. Anyway, my hands are full. I can't order the Uber. I normally do that. We have an Uber in 5 minutes. All right, so there you go. You guys have got the warning. I'm going to get the hell out of here in a few minutes. But I think All Night Hider's comment here is a good one. I'm ready for the opportunity. Pam is Satoshi. Lewis has exposed producer Pam. And I typically agree, not worth watching. I hope this 15-minute live stream saved you guys 2 hours. It was a very long live stream. Very, very long live stream. I tend to agree, All Night Hider. That's why we're doing what we're doing here. Got to spread that economic reality. And this is, again, really a really interesting comment. So many people blame politics for economics. Such a successful distraction. That's exactly what it is. We've always said that, guys, there's 262 of you guys tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Let me know if you notice a difference in the camera quality. I got a funny story for you guys, but let's just say a Peruvian gentleman has found himself $4,000 richer this week. Apparently, you cannot go and do some work in Starbucks with your camera equipment in a backpack next to you. That's right. I got robbed in Peru on Monday. Yeah, Monday. So I'm using an iPhone to film this video. I'd be interested if you guys can notice a difference. If you appreciate the decreased video quality, we would appreciate you can hit a like on the video if you enjoy it. You can subscribe if you like this content. I wasn't going to do a live stream today. I honestly, that whole documentary didn't interest me, but I saw a lot of FUD being circulated. So I thought I'd do a quick one for you guys. Thank you so much for everyone who tuned in. If I'm absent tomorrow, that's because I'm going to be getting on a plane, flying to a different city here in Peru to go and buy the exact same camera I had 2 days ago. So if I'm absent, that's why. But with all that said, thank you so much for everyone who tuned in. I will see you guys in the